Jewish audio on Kabod.org.
This class is presented by Rabbi Leib Shapiro. Rabbi Leib Shapiro, a noted Talmudic scholar, is the dean of the Yeshiva Gedolah Rabbinical College of Greater Miami, the rabbi of Congregation Beis Menachem, and the community leader in Miami Beach, Florida.
The topic is Sviras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer. We all know what the mitzvah of Svira is. The mitzvah is that from the second night of Pesach, we have to start counting every night for 49 days. And the reason it's called Sviras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer, because on the second day of Pesach, they would bring in the Beis HaMikdash, they would bring a special sacrifice called Korban Omer. The reason it was called Omer, all Omer is a measurement. It's a neighbor measurement. This is the measurement of the amount of flour that they had to use for that sacrifice. It was a sacrifice not of animals, of an animal, it was a sacrifice of flour. Different than all other sacrifices of flour, which are called Korbanos Mincha. Because we know among the sacrifices, we have korbanos of animals, and all different types of korbanos. You have a korban eilon, a korban chatos, a korban osham, korban shlomim. Then you have the korbanos of flour, which is called the korban mincha. Also, we have different kinds of korbanos. But all of the korbanos of flour were made of flour of wheat, while the korban of the omer was a korban made of flour of se'irim, of barley. And they would bring the special sacrifice, the special korban, on the second day of Pesach. And it's from that time on that we have to count the days till Shavuos, which are 49 days. That's why it's called Sfiras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer, the counting of the days from the sacrifice of the Omer. Because of that, since this is the counting of the days from the korban Omer, nowadays, that we don't have a korban Omer, since we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a sacrifice of the Omer. Therefore, most opinions hold that the mitzvah of counting the Sfira that we do now is not a mitzvah midereise. It's not a mitzvah from the Torah. It's only a mitzvah midrabbanon, only a mitzvah that the rabbis established. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, and they would actually bring the korban Omer, that's when the Torah says, "Usfartav lachem emochat haShabbos." You should count the day after Shabbos, which here doesn't mean Shabbos. I'll explain it later. It means Yonte, the day after Yonte, which means the day after the first day of Pesach. Start counting, count 7 weeks, 49 days after the Omer. So when we had the Korban Omer, the Torah tells us clearly we have to count the days. Now that we don't have a Korban Omer, like I said, most opinions hold we don't have to count the Omer from the Torah. But the Rabbanon, the rabbis established, like they did many other things, that we should still do it, which we call Zecher LeMikdash. It's a Zecher, a remembrance of what used to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. Many things we do now that the Rabbon, that's only the Rabbonah from the Torah, we don't have to do. Just to give a simple example, the eating of Morer on Pesach. You know, we have to eat Matzah and Morer, bring the four cases. Now the four cups of wine are to begin with a mitzvah that the Rabbonah established. The Torah doesn't say. But eating Morer in the Torah it says, it says in the Torah you should eat Morer. But in the Torah it says you should eat Morer together with the Korban Pesach. We don't have a Korban Pesach now. So as far as the Torah is concerned, we don't have to eat Morer now. Matzah, we have to eat anyway from the Torah. But Morer not. Nevertheless, we all know we eat Morer Pesach night. Who said to eat Morer? The Rabbanan. They said, since in the time of the Beis HaMikdash they used to eat Morer, we should now also eat Morer. Plus, there it's even more. Just like in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, according to Hillel, that you used to eat it together with the matzah. So we even have a Hillel sandwich. We have a Torah. All the Zecher for the Beis HaMikdash. The same thing here. The Chachamim established a Zecher of the Beis, to the Beis HaMikdash, and we have a mitzvah midrabbanon to count Sfira. Which is the reason why, as soon as we finish counting, when we say, today is this and this and this day, right after that, we add a line. The line is, which means, the one that has pity, please return the service in the Beis HaMikdash to us very soon. Why all of a sudden do we remind ourselves of asking Hashem to return the service in the Beis HaMikdash? The reason is very simple. Because since we just finished counting Sfira, which is only a mitzvah that the Rabbanan made as a zecher, as a remembrance to the Beis HaMikdash, so right away we ask, please Hashem, make it that we shouldn't do it just as a zecher, please build the Beis HaMikdash and let us bring the Karbonis and we'll be able to fulfill this mitzvah Mide Eiraise. This is the mitzvah of Svirah, to count the days from the day they brought the Omer or the day that they should have brought the Omer, which nowadays we don't have the Omer, but the day we should have brought the Omer. The mitzvah of Svirah is divided into two parts. The Gemara says, mitzvah lamim neyomer, mitzvah lamim neshvuah. There's a mitzvah to count the days, and there's a separate mitzvah to count the weeks. Because in the Torah it says two things. It says, Shiva Shavuah is Tispaloch. 7 weeks you shall count. And then it also says, Tisparu Chamishum Yem, you should count 50 days, which actually means 49, up to the 50th. So the Torah mentions counting days and counting weeks. So there are two mitzvahs. We count days and we count weeks, and that's actually what we do. Every night we say, today is the 12th day, let's say, which is 1 week and 5 days. Why do we do that? Because there's a mitzvah to count weeks. In this mitzvah, I'll get back to the weeks in a moment, but I just want to give something before then, I'll get back to it. In this mitzvah of counting the Omer, we find an argument amongst the poskim. Whether all the days, the counting of all the days, is one mitzvah, or every day is a separate mitzvah. As a result of this argument, comes out whether if you skip one day, can you still continue counting? Now, according to the opinion that says that it's all one mitzvah, now since you skipped one day, you missed out the mitzvah. It's like a person will say, I have four tzitzis, four corners on my garment. I only have three strings. One corner is missing. So you can't say, well, so I'll have only three. If you don't have the four, then you can't have the three either. You don't have anything. So here too, there's no use in counting those days after you miss, because you won't have the mitzvah anyway. On the other hand, the other opinion says that every day is a separate mitzvah. So if you skip the day, you unfortunately skip the mitzvah. But today, you have the mitzvah anyway, so you should count the day. Because of that, what we do, the custom is, that if you skip a day, you continue to count, but without a bracha. And the reason we continue to count without a bracha is because, according to the other opinion, you shouldn't be counting. Your counting is not a mitzvah. You're just saying words, but it has no mitzvah. So how could you make a bracha, which is a blessing before you do a mitzvah, when you're not doing a mitzvah? So the bracha is a bracha levatola. It's a bracha, a blessing in vain, according to that opinion. And therefore, we do continue counting, because after all, there is an opinion that says that we should continue counting, so we want to fulfill the mitzvah according to that opinion, but because according to the other opinion, we shouldn't, and there's no, we can't make a bracha, so we skip the bracha. And the rule is, that if you don't make a bracha to a mitzvah, you still fulfill the mitzvah. You miss the bracha, you still fulfill the mitzvah. So by not making a bracha, we like make a compromise. We save the tzvira, so we do the mitzvah according to that opinion, and even if we didn't make a bracha, according to this opinion, we fulfilled the mitzvah, and we don't have any aveira of making a bracha in vain, according to the other opinion, and that's why we just continue. There is an opinion, an interesting opinion, which is credited to the Beis Halevi, the Byoshe Ber Brisker, that he came up with an idea, and he said that every end of the week, you could make a bracha. If you skip in the middle, at the end of every week, you could make a bracha. Why? Because there is a mitzvah to count the weeks. That's a separate mitzvah. If you didn't skip 7 days ago, that means that you did the mitzvah of counting the weeks. So even though it's all one, but what is that one mitzvah? Two parts to it. Counting the days. And if you skipped one day, you can't be counting the days. Then there's a mitzvah counting the weeks. So that you could continue. And therefore, when it would come to the end, at the time when the week is up, and that's the mitzvah, count that today is 2 weeks, next week today is 3 weeks, you could do it with the bracha. I don't know if that's accepted la halacha that people do that, but he writes that and it's a very interesting thought. The only question that comes up is, according to those opinions, that it's all one mitzvah, and that's why if you skipped once, you have spoiled your mitzvah, and therefore you can't continue counting, means you can't make a bracha. The question is, how could you make a bracha in the beginning? How do you know you're not going to miss a day? According to this opinion, if you miss one day, you spoil the mitzvah. So you didn't only spoil the mitzvah for the future, for the next days. You didn't do the mitzvah yesterday either, and 2 days ago either. Because it's all one mitzvah, so you skipped a day, so you missed the mitzvah, so you should never be able to make a bracha, because we're never sure that you're going to do the mitzvah. The only day we should be able to make a bracha is on the last day. And then you know, the night is the last day, it finishes. How could we make a bracha before? So the Rebbe has an interesting pshat. He comes and says that it's a mistake that people think that the opinion is that it's one mitzvah for the whole 49 days. If that would be true, then we couldn't make a bracha. What the opinion is something else. They hold that the mitzvah is that we should count a day in order of counting, which means when we count the ninth day, let's say, the mitzvah is to count not today's day, but to count it as a ninth day. And therefore, if you skip yesterday's day, how could you say today is nine if yesterday wasn't eight by you? It's not a pshat, it's all one mitzvah. The other opinion says, no, the mitzvah is every separate day, every day separately. The mitzvah is not to count the continuation. It just happens to be a continuation, because today is nine, yesterday was eight. But the mitzvah is not a continuation. The mitzvah is a separate mitzvah. Therefore, even if you skipped one day, so you didn't say eight, but today happens to be the nine, so I can count the nine. Because the mitzvah is to count on the nine, the ninth, on the tenth, the tenth, on the 20th, the 20th. The other opinion is that you have to count the ninth after your eighth, and the eighth after your seventh. That's what their opinion is. And that's why before you skip, there is no problem. Because you had the mitzvah yesterday. But after you skip, now you can't continue because you can't say today is nine after yesterday was eight. And therefore, going back to what I said before, our custom is, because of these two opinions, that if you do skip, we don't continue counting with the bracha. But this is only if you didn't remember the whole 24 hours. Let's say a person forgot to count to Sfira at night. And the next morning, he reminds himself. Now, you can't count with a bracha in the morning. So you would count without a bracha. But still, you could continue counting the next night with a bracha until the end. Because you did manage to say today is the day. That's why some people even have a custom that every day during the day, when they remind themselves, they count Sfira. Just in case he happened to forget the night before, so to make sure that you have counted. Yeah, so it's an idea to do it. The reason we count only at night with the bracha, not in the morning, is based on the pasuk where it says, Sheva Shabosa is Tmima is Tiyana. 7 complete weeks. That means every day and every week has to be complete. Complete means night and day. So you have to count from the night and you're counting for the next 24 hours. But if you're going to count in the morning, it means you missed out the night. That's not the real mitzvah. But nevertheless, since you did count, you continue counting with the bracha. Where did this mitzvah of counting Sfira come from? Well, the truth is, it came from the Torah. Where did it come from? And now it's from the Rabbanan. What is the reason for this mitzvah? Now, some mitzvahs have reasons, some mitzvahs don't. The mitzvah of Pesach has a reason. We were a Mitzrayim, we're not a Mitzrayim, Hashem gave us a mitzvah to keep Pesach. Matzah, Chometz, all these things we know. The mitzvah of Sfira Sa'imer also has a source, a reason. It says in a Medrash that when the Jews went out of Mitzrayim, they were told by Moshe Rabbeinu that in 49 days you are going to receive the Torah in Har Sinai. And they just couldn't wait for the day. What do we usually do when we can't wait for something? We count the days. So they counted the days to Matan Torah. They had a countdown. 1 day passed, 2 days passed, 3 days passed, and they counted down. When Hashem saw how much they desired, how much they loved to receive the Torah, Hashem said, you deserve this as a mitzvah. And because of that, he gave him a mitzvah. Every year, you should count the days between Pesach and Shavuos, which are 49 days. What is the idea of counting Sfira, counting days? Well, the way I just said it now, that when you're waiting for something, you're counting the days. But counting the days is just an expression of one's waiting for something, but it has no meaning. There's nothing in it. Counting a day. The truth is, Sfira is more than just counting the day. It says in all the Sforim, Chassidus Sforim, Kabbalah Sforim, Musar Sforim, even Nigla Sforim, it says that the idea of counting Sfira means that every day we have to do another form of Avodas Hashem, another form of serving Hashem. what the days are. Every day we are supposed to purify our midas, our attributes. And being that we know that every person has seven midas are chesed, vura, tiferes, netzach, eid, yesod, and malchus. And each one of these seven is made up of seven. So you have seven times seven. And that's where the 49 days come from. The first week is a week dedicated to chesed. Every day it's another aspect of chesed. The first day is chesed of chesed, then it's gevura of chesed, then tiferes of chesed, etc. The next week is a week dedicated to gevura. So the first day is chesed shebe gevura, the second day is gevura shebe gevura, etc. And that's how it goes on for all 49 days. So really what it means is that every time we count the day, it's not just to count, to say today is this and this day, but it is a time when we have to reflect on that specific midah that belongs to the day, and we have to work on ourselves to purify that midah, that attribute. And if you look at the Siddur, we have in the Siddur every day a different midah which belongs to that day. We even mention it when we say that special prayer there, and that's the day we have to work on that midah. This is basically what happened to when the Jews went out of Mitzrayim. He said the Jews went out of Mitzrayim, they couldn't wait to count the days. It's not just counting the days that they did, which is also good, waiting for something and counting the days. They purified themselves, and they really needed it, because we know that when the Jews were in Mitzrayim, they sank into the 49 gates of Tumah, 49 gates of impurity. And it says they were almost the 50th. Had they entered the 50th, that's such a level where you can't get out. If you get there, there is no return. And Hashem grabbed them out before they got to the 49, to the 50th gate. And then, from then on, till they came to Matan Torah, for 49 days, they every day had to get out of one gate of impurity, and at the same time, enter a gate of Kedusha, of holiness. So by the time the 49 days were up, they had purified themselves, got rid of themselves of all the 49 attributes of Tumah, and they at the same time had entered the 49 gates of Kedusha. They were ready for Matan Torah. Now Matan Torah, giving of the Torah, was a great special event. It was the greatest event that ever happened and ever will happen in history, because Matan Torah will never happen again. And that's a level of Kedusha and level of godliness that came into the world, such a strong light, that's unbelievable, something that we can't imagine. That is called the Shara Hamishim, the 50th gate. The number 50 represents that highest level of Kedusha that came down when the Torah was given. Every year the same thing repeats itself, which means that when Pesach comes and we relive Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's a time when we have to prepare ourselves to the giving of the Torah, and therefore we have to again work on ourselves to get rid of any midah, bad midah that we might have, and work on getting into the good midahs, so we get out of the 49 bad midahs, we enter the 49 good midahs. And then what happens, then by the time we finish, comes to Shavuos. Shavuos is the 50th day, and that's when this level, which in Kabbalah is called Shara Hamishim, the 50th level, shines upon us. If you look in the Chumash, when it talks about Sfira, it says, Tisperu Hamishim Yom, we should count 50 days. Now what does that mean? We don't count 50 days. We only count 49. So I mentioned before, it means up to 50, but that's not the way the Torah usually writes it. Why does the Torah here write it in such a not clear way? When it says, clearly it says 50 days, count 50 days. So Chassidus says that the word Tisperu doesn't only mean counting. Tisperu comes from the word Sapir. Even Sapir means a sapphire, a shiny stone, a shiny diamond. Tisperu Chamishim Yom means that will shine to you the 50th. When we count 49 days, the 50th shines. The 50th level is a level that we cannot reach on our own. This is something Hashem on His own gives it. We can't reach it. There is nothing that we can do. There is nothing in Avedas Hashem, in service of Hashem, that we can do that would reach up into that level. Hashem on His own, as a present, could give it to us. But when does Hashem give it to us as a present? If we do everything that we can in the levels that we could reach. And when we reach everything that we can, then Hashem says, now you're ready that I should give you. And that's what happens during Sfira. During Sfira we have 49 levels, and these 49 levels are reachable. And every day that we work with ourselves, we reach another level of Kedusha. By the time the 49 days are up, that means that we have reached whatever we could. Then Hashem says, now I will make the 50th level shine to you. He will come and give that 50th level to us. But till then, we have to work at these 49 levels. Working with our midas, which, if you want to put it in other words, working with our yetzer hara, with our evil inclination. Or using the terms of chassidus, working with our nefesh habahamis, with our animalistic soul. And this is another reason why we connect the sphere with the korban eimer, with this korban eimer. Because according to what I'm saying now, and according to what the Medrash says, why we have the mitzvah sphere has nothing to do with the korban eimer. It's between Pesach and Shavuos, to prepare ourselves for Shavuos. Same with the first time, even with Adam Yisrael, they couldn't wait for Matan Torah, so they prepared themselves. What does that have to do with the sacrifice, with this korban eimer that they brought? It does have to do. Because as I mentioned before, this korban eimer was a korban of barley. And the Gemara says barley is a maichob heimen. Barley is food for an animal. We find one more korban, which was a korban of flour, which was made of barley, not of wheat. Because all other menachas, the Gemara says, kol ha-menachas bo is chitim. All the korban is mincha, all the sacrifices of flour came from chitim, from wheat. Chutz mikorban saite. A woman who was a saite. What's a saite? A woman who was warned by her husband, do not hide, be in hiding with this man. And then she did. So she is brought to the Beis HaMikdash. And she is given a certain water to drink. And that will test to see if she's guilty or innocent. If she is guilty, certain things will happen and she will die. If she's innocent, then nothing will happen to her. As a matter of fact, it will make her even better, etc., etc. But together with the water that she drank, she had to bring a korban mincha. That's the thing. And that korban mincha was made of se'irim of barley. And there the Gemara makes it very clear. Why did she have to bring a korban of barley? The Gemara says like this. He osasa maisa b'hema, kach korbona maichob b'hema. She behaved like an animal, and therefore her korban should be animal food. So we see clearly over there, we connect the korban of se'irim to the fact that she behaved like a b'hema. The same thing is with the korban b'hema. Since when we go out of Mitzrayim, and every year when we do that, when we go out of Mitzrayim, and we are not ready to receive the Torah yet. That means we still have that behemoth within us. We still have that animal within us. So you bring the korban eimer, that is a sacrifice, to sacrifice our behemoth. It's, and the symbol, the remez, the hint is, it's a maichob behemoth. And from that point on, we have the koyach of fighting our behemoth. Because we had a korban which was a maichob behemoth. And that's when we start. That's when we start counting from the day of the Emet. So it is connected. You see us trying going out of Mitzrayim. It is connected to preparation to Matan Torah. But it is also connected to Korban Emet because it's all the same. The reason we bring the Korban Emet is because of that. Because it's Michael Behemet. And we prepare ourselves working with our Behemet in order to get ready to Matan Torah. And this is basically the explanation in the mitzvah of Sfira Sa'emet. But there is one more thing concerning Sfira. I mentioned before that the Pasuk uses the term Sfartem lachem mimocha ha-Shabbos. You should start counting the day after Shabbos. That's what it says. And because it says that, the Tzedukim, who are those people, those groups of people who only believed in Torah Shebikhtav, in the written Torah, did not believe in the oral Torah, so they took everything literally as the Torah says, they claimed that Sfira always starts on Sunday, the day after Shabbos. And by them, Shavuos was always on a Sunday. Because they started the weeks on Sunday, and the last day of Sfira finished on the last of the seventh week was Shabbos, so Shavuos was always for them on a Sunday. They claimed it says, V'mochras HaShabbos. The Chachomim said that V'mochras HaShabbos does not mean the day after Shabbos, it means the day after Yontif. And Yontif is called Shabbos. There are different proofs that they brought, the different things that the Rambam brings. But the main proof is, that's what they had in tradition, generation from generation, going back all the way to the Jews in the Midbar when Hashem gave the Torah, that they knew that it has nothing to do with the day of the week. It has to do with the day after Yontif. It has nothing to do with the day after Shabbos. They even claimed that, you know why Hashem made that deal? They even said it was Moshe Rabbeinu who decided to do it. And the Tzedukim said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Meisher Rabbeinu Eyev Yisrael Hoyo. Meisher Rabbeinu loved Jews. So he wanted to be nice to them. So he made it so that Shavuot should always be on a Sunday. Since Shabbos he rested. So when it comes to Sunday, so you're able to receive the Torah much easier, more calm. That's what he said, that's what they did it. But the Bechazak said it's not true. We know Mimochnas HaShabbos means the day after Yom Tov. That's the day you have to bring the Korban Neimer, and that's the day we start counting. So it comes out that according to the Halacha and according to the truth, it makes no difference which day of the week. Nevertheless, there is an interesting Medrash. The Medrash says, on the Pasuk, Sheva Shabbosais Tmimais Te'yeno, 7 complete weeks, the Medrash says, Ei Mesai Hein Tmimais. When is it complete? When is Sfira complete? When you start counting on a Sunday. So the Medrash makes it very clear that if you start counting on a Sunday, which is exactly like this year happens to be Yom Pesach, the first day was Shabbos, so we started counting what the Shabbos, which is the first day was Sunday. So it says in the Medrash that if Svira starts on a Sunday, then it is Tmimus. It is complete. Now we know this seems to contradict what the Chachamim said, that Memochas HaShabbos does not mean the day after Shabbos. It means the day after Yom Tov. But from here we see that nevertheless, even though the halacha is that we have to count no matter which way it is, but if it comes, if it does happen to come out on a Sunday, it is better. There is something special. But the question, how does that fit to the fact that it makes no difference which day of the week? So there are different explanations. Let me first give an explanation in simple pshat. And that is that there are many mitzvahs. Well, maybe I shouldn't say many. There are some mitzvahs that the way Hashem gave it is that sometimes or in some situations the mitzvah is done to the fullest degree and sometimes not. And it's still from the Torah. See, things which are from the Rabbanon, we find a lot of times a difference between what we call lechatchila and b'diavad. The way it should be done at best choice and then b'diavad. Other way if you can, it's also good. But in the Torah, we don't find such things. Whatever the Torah says, that's it. There's no two ways about it. Nevertheless, we do find some things which in a certain situation it's better, and another situation it's not as good, even though it's according to the Torah. To use an example of Yom Tov itself. When we learn Chumash, we know that what makes Yom Tov, what makes the Kedusha of Yom Tov, one of the most important things that makes the Kedusha of Yom Tov is the Korbanos. There were special Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash for Yom Tov, and that made the Yom Tov. Now we don't have Korbanos. And we still have Yom Tov. It's second best. And what Yom Tov that we have is not Midrabanan. The second day Yom Tov is Midrabanan, but the first day is from the Torah. It's second best. The Torah itself put the mitzvah of Yom Tov in two choices. If you have a choice, and you have Karbonas, if you have a way of bringing Karbonas, that's the right way to make the Yom Tov. If you don't have, then without the Yom Tov, it's still a mitzvah. Maybe we could even use the example of tzitzis. If you have the blue string, that's the best way of having a mitzvah of tzitzis. If you don't, you still have the mitzvah of tzitzis. Certain things if you don't have, then we can do. But certain things, you see the Torah made it in two ways. And that's the Torah. And now, b'chatchila, the way we do the mitzvah of tzitzis is without a blue string, and it's still the mitzvah of tzitzis. The same is concerning Sfira. Hashem gave us the mitzvah of Sfira, and he said, the best way of doing the mitzvah of Sfira is if it's, if the days of the week fit to the days of Sfira. Then it's really complete. When we talk about counting weeks, so usually they don't coincide. The week could start from Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever, I don't know, I have to figure out exactly when it could, when it can. Since Leibah do Pesach, so Sfira cannot start from a Tuesday, it cannot start from a Thursday, and cannot start from a Shabbos. But whichever day it could start, so that's one way. And then Sfira could start from a Sunday. So if it starts from the middle, then the full complete weeks of Sfira don't coincide with the complete weeks of the week. But if it starts from a Sunday, it does coincide. So if we have Sfira that way, then that is the best way of Sfira. If Yom Tov comes out a different day in the week, it's not our fault. But then the Sfira is in that year a second best. Even from the Torah, it's a second best. So come that, at Chas V'Shalom, they were not right, that you only count Svira from a Sunday. It's not true. But it is true that there is something special if the weeks coincide. Just to use another example, there is a Zohar that says something that's very, very strange. Someone that's familiar with Halacha and with Rashi and Chumash, it's very strange. It says in Zohar that when you buy a slave, a Jewish slave, so we all know, anybody learned Mishpatim, 6 years he works, and then the seventh year he goes out free. So the Zohar says that the seventh year he goes out free is on Shemitah. We know every seventh year is Shemitah. So on the seventh year he goes out, that's the year of Shemitah. Which would seem to say that a Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave, is freed the year of Shemitah. Which is not true. That's not the thing. Whenever you buy him, he works for 6 years, and the seventh year he goes. And the seventh year and he goes out is the year of Shemitah. But it says it's the year of Shemitah. It's not the year of Shemitah. The answer is, if it happens to come out, that he goes out in the year of Shemitah, then that's the best choice. But we're talking about the halacha of an Eved, the first and best possible way is if he would go out in the year of Shemitah. If he was sold not in the year of Shemitah, in a different year, so his seven doesn't coincide with Shemitah, so that's what the Torah says. But it's still not the best way. It would be better if he would go out in the year of Shemitah. So we find such things. And the same thing would be concerning the counting of the Eved. But then there's another thing here. The Medrash says, on the same posting, Amesai Hentmimes, when is it complete? So we just had one Medrash where it says, when is it complete? When it coincides with the day of the week. Another Medrash says, Amesai Hentmimes, when is Svira complete? Kishi Yisrael Eisi Ritzayna Shal Mokim, when the Yidin do the will of Hashem. When the Yidin do the will of Hashem, it is complete. What's the connection between doing the will of Hashem and having the Sfira complete? So just in short, explain what Chassidus says. Doing or making the will of Hashem doesn't mean just doing the right thing. That's obvious. It means more than that. And just in short to explain it, we find in Krishna two parshiyos, right? Shema Yisrael v'ahavta, that's one portion. Then you have Ahoye Shemaya. In the second portion of Shema, says, if you will listen to Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul, and you will serve Him, then you will work in the field, and Hashem will give you rain, and you'll have food, etc., etc. In the first portion of Shema, it doesn't speak about working, it doesn't speak about making a living, it doesn't speak about anything. And the Gemara says, you know why? Because in the first portion, talking about a level, the Jews don't have to work. Others will do the work for us. And the second portion is talking when we still have to work. And you know why the second portion is a time when we still have to work? Because that is talking about the time when the Yidden are not doing the will of Hashem. And when Yidden don't do the will of Hashem, you won't have others work for you. But if you do the will of Hashem, then Hashem will provide others who work for you. And the question is right away, what do we mean that the second portion of Shema is talking about the time when the Yidden don't do the will of Hashem? Let's read the words. It says, V'hoyoyim shomoya tishmo, you will listen to Hashem's words in all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul. So we're talking about them doing the will of Hashem. What does the Gemara mean that this is talking about not doing the will of Hashem? Mefarshim say, the difference between the first portion and the second, and the first portion that says, V'chol levovcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol ma'idecha. The second portion says, V'chol levavchem, v'chol nafshechem. It doesn't say v'chol ma'idecha. What is the difference? Chol levavchem is all your heart, chol nafshechem is all your soul. Chol ma'idcha means beyond your limits. Ma'id means very. Tov ma'id means very good. Godel means very big. Ma'id means very. Very means more. Means beyond the limits. So the first portion when it says that you can love Hashem, v'hafto yishlo b'chol ma'idcha, all your might we call it, but beyond limits, that's called doing the will of Hashem. The second one is talking about Jews doing what Hashem wants. You're going to listen, but not going beyond your limits. Doing everything with your limits. That's called not doing the will of Hashem. What it means is, there are certain things which we know Hashem wants us to do. There are certain things which Hashem commanded us to do. That's one thing. But then there are things more than that. There are a lot of things that we know, that even though we don't have to do it, but we know Hashem would like us to do it. We call in English, we would call it, there is the letter of the law, and then there is the spirit of the law. There are things which, even though you could get away with it, and you don't have, you wouldn't be doing an Aveda, but you know that's not what Hashem wants. And that's what it means. The first part is B'chol Ma'itcha, with all your might, beyond limits. Meaning that's called doing the will of Hashem, something that Hashem wants, even if He didn't tell you. And the second one is only B'hoyim Shemayat Yishma, you're going to listen to Hashem, do what He tells you, and that's as far as it goes. So we see doing the will of Hashem means doing something beyond. And that's the idea of Sfira Sa'imer. Sfira Sa'imer is not only reaching a level, working with oneself to reach a level to do what it says in Shulchan Aruch. But we're talking about being Mevarer, purifying our Midas, which means doing things beyond. So the real Sfira is Eisin Ritzayin Shalmokim, doing the will of Hashem. Sfira Sa'imer means working one way up to do not only what we have to, but do more than what we have to. Which we would call Lifnim Mishuras HaDin, more than the din the law requires. And it's a very important thing. It says in Chassidus that when do we realize a person loves Hashem is not if he does everything that you have to. If he does more. Because as long as you do everything you're told to do, so it doesn't really show you love Hashem. It just shows that you never, you have to do, you have no choice, and you believe in Hashem, you believe in the Torah, you have to do it. It doesn't show you really have a feeling to it. But if you do more than you have to, because you know Hashem would like it, then it's a proof that you love Hashem. Like by a child. This brings an example. You have some people, like it says, a servant, a slave, would do, a good slave, an Eved Nemo, we call him, would do everything he's told. But nothing more. He'll do his job perfectly. A Ben, a child, will do everything the parents want. Plus, what else can I do? What can I do to give my mother, my father pleasure? That's a child. The same thing, a Jew who only does what he's told to do is like an Eved Hashem. Fine. And halavai, everyone should be like that. We just hope everyone will be like that. But still, all he is an Eved. He's a slave to Hashem. Which is fine. But not a Ben. Not a son. A child to Hashem is if we do more. And that's what Sfira Sa'imer is. And that's what the Medrash means. Eimesai heit mimeis. When is it complete? When is Sfira Sa'imer? When does a Yid really accomplish what Sfira Sa'imer is supposed to accomplish? When the Yidden do the will of Hashem, not the commandments of Hashem, but the will of Hashem, knowing that Hashem wants something, we do it. And this is the essence of the spiritual explanation, the mitzvah sphere, to prepare ourselves to Shavuos, to purify ourselves, and bring ourselves to a level to want to do more than we are commanded to do. Then there's one more thing, since I see there is still a few moments left, one more thing, an interesting thing concerning Sfira. That is one of the famous things concerning counting Sfira, and that is crossing the international date line. That causes a lot of confusion. When a person crosses the date line from the United States or from America, from here, going to Australia, and he goes through the date line, what happens is you skip a day. When a person comes from Australia to the United States, he has the same day twice. When you go the other way, what happens is, from Sunday 3 o'clock, let's say you cross, so now it's by you Sunday 3 o'clock, and a minute later it is Monday 3:01. The other way, it's Sunday 3, and then comes, and a second later it becomes, okay, let's say Monday 3:03, it becomes Sunday 3:01. You skip, you go back a day. Now, what happens is, when you cross the date line in the middle of Sfira, you have a problem with counting the Sfira. Let's say, just as an example, you counted here tonight, let's say the 10th, just use an example, we counted the 10th of Sfira, and I start flying tomorrow morning and I cross the date line, tomorrow night I'm in Australia. I'm in Australia tomorrow night, they're not counting the 11th, they're counting the 12th. So I skipped the day, because the next night by me, they're counting the 12th. I go the other way, let's say I counted the 10th in Australia and I come the next night here, I should be counting the 11. Everyone else is counting the 10. So what do we do? That's one question. Based on this question, we have a bigger question. What happens with Shavuos? Shavuos is the only holiday in the Torah that has no date. It doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash what date of the month or of which month Shavuos is. All it says is Shavuos is after the 49 days of counting of the Omer. Now this guy is going to count a different sphere, then his 49 will be different. Let's use the example. we're going to Australia, and from the 10th over there, the next night they're counting 12th already, but if he'll continue his counting, he'll be counting the 11th. So when they're counting the 49th, he'll still be counting the 48th. The next night by them is already after the 49th, he'll still have the 49th, and the opposite, he'll finish earlier. Now concerning Sfira, we have a special din, that there is no such thing as a collective mitzvah of Sfira. Sfira is mitzvah l'kol echad v'echad, that's an individual mitzvah. Everyone personally has a mitzvah. There are other types of counting which are for the community. We have to count the years, not nowadays, we had to be some mikdash, the years of Shemitah up to Yevul. Same like we count Sfira. But that was a mitzvah on the Bezdin. The community, the Bezdin represented the community, they used to every year count. This year is year number 3 from the 5th cycle of Shemitah, whatever. Sfira Tzayimah is a mitzvah on every individual. There's no such thing, I don't have to care what other people count, I have to count my cheshbon. And therefore, when you go to Australia, you cross the date line, and you count the 10th last night, tonight you have to count the 11th. Everybody else is counting the 12th, it's not my business, I have to count the 11th. When it comes to Shabbos and Yontif, it's not an individual thing, it depends on the place. If here it's Shabbos, then that's my Shabbos. Sfira has nothing to do with the place, and has nothing to do with other people, it's me. So from the 10th, I have to count the 11th, and everyone else will be counting the 12th. And therefore, the Rebbe said that when you finish Sfira, and they'll be finished the 49th, you'll be counting the 48th. When they finish, you'll still have the 49th, but then it'll be Shavuos. And since Shavuos has no other way no date, but the end of Sfira, so Shavuos depends on everyone's Sfira. So the person who crossed the date line to Australia will have Shavuos a day later. That means by them will be Shavuos, and by him will not be. By them, the second day Shavuos will be his first. And by them, the day after Shavuos will be his second day of Shavuos. If you go the other direction, coming here, so you will have Shavuos a day before. You will finish 49 when everyone is still counting 48. So when you finish, it's your Shavuos. It actually happened here. I don't know if any of you remember. Remember when the Harrison family moved here from Australia? Remember they stayed in the hotel, what's it called? We had the minion. The Ocean Spray. They stayed there. And I remember talking to them and they told me they moved here in the middle of Sfira and came out. I said to them, they had a different day of Shavuos.
But they were all by themselves. They had Shavuos.
Yeah, all by themselves. They had Shavuos themselves. They had Shavuos a day earlier. The second day on the... Right, exactly. Yeah, that's what it is. And that's the Rebbe's psak. Because of that, the Rebbe didn't want people to do it. So the Rebbe said not to travel through the dateline in the middle of Sfira. You have to go to Australia, go the other direction. But don't go through the dateline. Now, concerning other things, there is a big argument where the dateline actually is. See, because the way the world has a dateline, it's just a made-up thing. It's logical that there has to be a dateline someplace. But the world, the earth is a ball, round. There has to be a place where the date changes. Now, where is it? As far as we're concerned, it could be right here. It could be anywhere in the world. It depends on where the sun started shining. Wherever the sun started shining and started going around, and then it came back. So it was a point where the sun was there already for the second time, and on the other side, it was just for the first. But we don't know where that point was. So they decided to do it not in a place where the line will go through land. It'll be pretty funny. On one side of the street will be Sunday, the other side will be Monday. So they chose the Pacific Ocean where there is no land and they have a line go straight to the Pacific Ocean. And because of that, when it comes to Alaska, it'll have to cross Alaska. So there they made it zigzag and it goes around Alaska. But that's what they decided. What about halacha? In halacha, we also have sources of where the dateline should be. Sources in Medrash where Hashem put the sun up. How many degrees from Yerushalayim? And there's an argument, different Rabbanim shot in that Medrash. And therefore, there are certain places where there is an argument. Hawaii, for instance, is not so simple. Which day is really Shabbos? Is it on this side of the dateline or that side of the dateline? But Australia is, according to all opinions, on the other side of the dateline. And therefore, if you go there, you definitely cross the dateline. And therefore we have a problem with Shavuos. But if anybody does do it, he has his own Shavuos. And the point is, like you said, because Matan Torah is a personal experience, and the preparation to Matan Torah is a personal experience. Actually, when Hashem started the Ten Commandments, he said, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am your God. Singular, not plural. Because he wasn't only the God of everybody. On one hand, the meaning is, he considered all the Jews as one. So it's to everybody. But it also means to every individual person. And that's why that is something that depends on every individual person. But in our case, we don't have these problems. We all have the same Shavuos. But the Sfira we have to take in mind. We have to realize that counting the Sfira is not just saying some words and counting something, but it is a big, big Avedas Hashem, a certain service of purifying ourselves and bringing ourselves closer to Hashem and getting rid of the Yetzer Hara, the bad midas that we have, and being ready for Matan Torah.